This podcast is a Bendigedig Media production.
Hello, I'm Michael Sheen, and you are listening to a Touchline Rant podcast.
Hello. Can I help? You have reached
listener feedback.
It's episode 195 of a Touchline Rant podcast. 195. Like, that's a lot, isn't it? That's quite a lot. Like, when you think about it, you think, Christ, that's an awful... Like, 4 years we've been doing this. Soon.
That's like a daddy turning
picket. Yeah, over 4 years we've been since episode one.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's it. So if you've lasted 195 episodes, dear listener, well done, because you deserve a medal. The state of some of these episodes that have gone out. There's some good ones, though, to be fair. If this is the first one you're listening to, go listen to our interview with David Cottrell, part one and part two. That was a great one. All the IKEA ones, all the grazing shed, big moose.
All classics there.
Yeah, some classics I've raised there. You interviewing Andy from the grazing shed in a women's toilet.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, that was good, actually. Yeah, I enjoyed that.
We had some good nights at that bloody... Anyway, we're reminiscing. We're falling down a backwards tunnel here. What are we going to talk about this week?
We're talking managers mostly this
managers.
Week.
Managers, it's a few of them gone.
Yeah, there's been a bit of a shuffle going on. Mid shuffle at the moment, you know, and the chips might lie somewhere else at the end of it all. But yeah, there's been a bit of movement in the managerial market.
You mentioned chips, but I want to talk about pies, in particular, mag. Pies.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one.
Newcastle United. Newcastle United have appointed Eddie Howe as manager. Am I right when I say that I was surprised as hell when they went Howe, considering the amount of hype that was surrounding them because of the money that they could potentially have from their new owners? I thought they'd appoint someone bigger than Eddie Howe. And I don't mean taller. I just mean, you know, this is a man relegated from the Premier League with Bournemouth and sacked.
Well, I was...
He's a good coach, don't get me wrong. I was expecting a bigger name is all I'm saying. Basically.
I'm completely with you. I was surprised as well. I thought when they first were talking about potential replacements or the rumours were going around when Unai Emery's name went around, I was thinking that is the sort of name that I was thinking of.
Yeah.
And obviously that didn't happen. I think he was the first choice and obviously turned it down. And then when Eddie Howe's name came up, I thought exactly the same as you. And it's like you said, all due respect to Howe. So I think... You know, the job he did at Bournemouth was unbelievable for the resources. Yeah. To actually, you know, they weren't quite a yo-yo club because he managed to keep them up in the Premier League as well.
They were established.
So I can't remember.
They were like a Burnley.
Yeah, exactly. But I was really surprised because, especially if, you know, with the sort of money that's being talked about that they've got available, you know, Howe worked on a shoestring budget at Bournemouth. He's never had that sort of money to spend in his managerial career. So I thought it was going to be from someone from abroad. I was really surprised when his name came up. I mean, I hope, you know, I like Eddie Howe a lot. I think he's... Yeah, a really good manager. But the other thing that we'll find out in time will tell, but Eddie Howe, sometimes managers just fit with clubs, don't they? And Eddie Howe left Bournemouth, which a lot of people forget about, to manage Burnley.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out. It didn't work out at Burnley. And he went back to Bournemouth. And they say never go back. And he was the exception to that rule because he went back to Bournemouth and took them to the Premier League. And he just fit at Bournemouth. And it didn't work out at Burnley. And he's now, see, at a new club and a completely different expectations, you'd have to say now. With that sort of money to spend, so you know there's going to be a different type of pressure because, you know, with all due respect, Bournemouth in the Premier League, there isn't that sort of pressure on them because he was working on a shoestring budget. So now, if he's going to get the massive purse strings that, you know, that's being rumoured, then there will be a pressure with that to get the signings right. So I was really surprised when he was named the manager.
Isn't it weird? I know you're saying, like, you know, saying about him being synonymous with Bournemouth and he became the club and the club behemoth. Isn't it weird how sometimes that happens with managers where they just embody everything about one particular, like someone off the top, like Tony Pulis. Tony Pulis will forever be associated with Stoke. He's just he's just linked, tied to that club. Sean Dyche at Burnley.
You know,
these managers where you just, I can't imagine them managing anywhere. Like Sean Dyche, I can imagine if he managed at a different club with a different caliber of player, he'd probably be done for assault, I reckon. Like, I reckon if they gave him like genuine out of this world talent, if he say he turned up and rocked up and did the Chelsea job, within 20 minutes, one of the players will be going into the, like, Roman Abramovich and being like, this ain't happening. You can get rid of that. Just, they literally would be like, we're not playing for him. He's just slapped the shit out of Hakim Ziyech for no reason.
He's just netted Marcus Alonso.
Just Aspilicueta going in and being like, not happening. He's only been here half hour. He's caused chaos. Get rid of him. But at Burnley, it's just
Pepper off the team bus.
Yeah. I imagine. Do you reckon Dyche is really like that?
No, I reckon he's.
What do you reckon he's like as a man manager?
Do you know what? He's a bit of a conundrum because. You've seen that. I remember that interview was going around with him when he was talking about lookalikes. He just went off on one. If you've not seen it,
yeah.
Search
he's,
for that.
He's had, do you know what turned me on Dyche a little bit was when he was on Joey Barton's podcast. Did you ever hear that?
No, I didn't know.
You genuinely, if you haven't listened to it, go check it out. It's called, I think it's called Forward, Joey Barton's podcast was. And he had Sean Dyche on there. And Sean Dyche literally talked about Kasabian on and off. Like, throughout. So he'd talk about Kasabian, then 20 minutes later, he'd talk about Kasabian again. And he'd just shoehorn in Kasabian out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He was talking about when he got Burnley promoted, he drove down the motorway with the windows open or the roof down on his car or something. And he blasted Underdog by Kasabian. He was doing it as like a motivational thing. But I was listening to him. Like, Sean, this is like the fucking fifth time you've mentioned Kasabian in a half an hour podcast. Well,
yeah.
It spun me out. I was like, why is he talking about Kasabian?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. On the surface, you think, oh, will he be this, like, you know, will he give, has he got that gruff voice because he's given too many hairdryers, you know? I think he was born with that voice. And but then at the same time, I don't know. I just think he's probably completely different than you imagine him to be. Whatever it is, it's probably the polar opposite.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We digress.
We digress massively because this was about managers that have left their job. Sean Dyche is very much still employed.
He's very much still there. Yeah.
Oh God, I hope we haven't cursed him. I hope we haven't eaten well, cursed Sean Dyche. Right.
Yeah. It'd be all right.
He
got to spend a point at Chelsea. Yeah.
Yeah. Farker, however.
Yeah.
He's gone. No more talking about the topics or match of the day. not listening to his lovely little voice. I'm going to miss him.
It's very high, sort of. It's a really weird pitch voice, isn't he? Completely different than you imagine.
Every time as well. He doesn't. We need to talk about the topics.
Yeah. It was the.
I'm going to miss him.
This was so weird because they obviously decided he was going no matter what before that game. But it was kind of like, it was just so weird, wasn't it? Because they, their first win. I mean, football's bonkers, isn't it? Football's bonkers.
Live in a world where Real Madrid once sacked their manager because he only won the European Cup. That's the world we live in.
Brentford. Yeah. Do you think he was told before the game that he was going? I don't know. I don't know.
Maybe.
Neil Warnock, when he left Middlesbrough, was told it was going to be his last game before. Which is another... we'll talk Championship a little bit after, but I thought he did a fantastic job at Middlesbrough, so that was really weird. But yeah, I reckon he may have been told before the game that it was his last match. And maybe the... laid it all on the line for him, but it was just weird. I mean, like, you know, losing nearly every week. Two points going into that game?
Yeah.
And do you know what? I had a funny feeling Norwich going to win that. And even though
we said about it last week. We literally said on the podcast. We both obviously tipped Brentford, but we said you said this is a game that Norwich realistically have to have targeted as their first win. Because Brentford's got promoted with them. You know, Norwich were a better side in the Championship.
It's funny that happens. You see that happen over the years. We've got two teams to go up and, you know, the team that got the better of them in the Championship but not doing as well in the Premiership. It just happens. It's like they've sort of that familiarity with the side they're playing.
Mm.
It just happens. It happens often. I've got no examples. You just have to trust me. Trust me.
I think you've got to trust me.
This is another example. But it was weird. It was weird. So Norwich, and he's been at Norwich for a while because they are a side. They're a club that sort of stick with their managers, aren't they?
He's been there a long time. He was with them. He got them promoted, got them relegated, then got them promoted again. I think it's just a case of the club going, listen, we can't put up with this again. Mitch, you're a fan of Forest. You know what the Championship's like. If you're invested in something in the Championship, it can age you by like 60 years. Mm-hmm. So like if you say Forest were third, you could not finish lower than third, but you could finish second. And you had to play the team who were in second. You wouldn't be able to cope because you'd be like, we could get promoted or we could have to go into the playoffs. You want to get promoted in that scenario, you know? And the Championship throws up stuff like this. So I reckon the board have just gone, we can't cope with another season in the Championship. We really can't. We'd prefer to stay here. Thank you.
Do you know who the odds on favourite is to be the next Norwich manager? Is someone you're a big fan of?
Is it Jordan Lloyd?
No. I may be being sarcastic. Again, is it Jordan Lloyd? No.
Sweet. Right, who is it?
Frank Lampard.
What?
Apparently is in talks. Odds on favourite. Frank back in the Premiership. Premier League, sorry. Not Premiership.
Oh, I can see why they would do it. I suppose Lampard would be a bit.
That might be his level.
It might be a little. He did well. You know, he did well at
Derby.
Derby, thank you. He did well at Derby. I mean, whether or not it turns out that he actually, you know, financially screwed an entire football club, we don't know. Was it anything to do with Lampard being there that they're in the state they're in now? And now, obviously, Wayne Rooney. Who knows? But he did well there. On the field, they did well. He organised that team well. You know, they were a force at one point. He got a song out of Tom Ince as well.
I know. Yeah, many have tried and failed. Also on the list as a potential replacement, which is a nice little segue, is Dean Smith, who lost his job as the Villa manager. Another one who, I guess, in football terms, had been there a while. Another one. I think if you're there with three seasons with the side now, that's deemed a long stint, isn't it, probably?
Yeah.
Were you surprised by this one, or do you think it was coming?
I was surprised, but it was the reason, in my opinion. Villa because Villa are definitely on the slide. And he's been there a while. He's had new players come in. Maybe some of those new players, you know, you could argue that, say, certain members of that Villa squad may think, well, who are you to be telling me what to do at this point? Maybe it's just familiarity building contempt. I don't know. That's the way that I see it. I just think it was time for him to go. And they've got a good enough team that they could, and the right manager, if they get a good manager bounce, they could get a serious tune out of that team. They're a good side. I thought Villa would be fighting for Europe this season. And they've been a bit funny. Dean Smith's run the end of his, you know.
Yeah. I think the fans were, like you said, familiarity breeds contempt. I like that. I think that they've looked a bit shaky this season, haven't they? They haven't, because we thought that they kind of made some decent signings with the Grealish money, and also with Grealish last season he was injured for a long spell.
Yeah,
and they did okay without him. They obviously didn't look anywhere near as big a threat going forward, but they kind of adapted, and they had got used to playing without him. But obviously, take that away permanently, and you're obviously losing their best player. Yeah. But I think they still had enough there, you'd say, to suggest that they're underperforming this season.
Oh, massively, massively so. Their squad is really good. It is a really, really, really good side. I know they've lost Grealish, but he's just a once-in-a-lifetime player. I mean, if we're going to talk Grealish, I genuinely think he's got a cut in him at Man City level. I can see him back at Villa. If Villa stay in the Premier League, I could see him back at Villa in a couple of years, you know? But you look at the rest of the squad they got Bailey, Watkins, Ings, Buendia. These are good players. Like, McGinn is a good player. Douglas Luiz is a good player. Traore's a good... They've got a good squad in all positions. I think one of the big things that happened, which Dean Smith, where I think it started going wrong, was when he dropped Tyrone Mings.
Yeah.
He dropped Tyrone Mings, and I think that may have destabilised things in the dressing room, because you can't do that. But you're the boss. But if there will be consequences.
There's always those things in it sometimes that you see managers do sort of towards the end of a spell, and you think, oh, that's got sort of roll of the dice, you know, last random Hail Mary shake-up that you would never see come in, you know. It's just crazy. Do you remember when Ruud Gullit was dropping Shearer for Newcastle?
Oh.
You just like the weird things like that.
It does happen. These things happen all the time. And I just think if you get in, say you get like a decent manager, like someone put a list up the other day of managers who are free, like unattached, and for a club like Aston Villa, there are some decent names, like the ex Barcelona Valverde, his name was.
He hasn't
got a club, you know. That's a decent level manager. Like he's he did a good job, and he is a good coach. And Villa are not short of a quid.
That's the thing. They've got a history, club with history. They've got a good fan base.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Squad.
It's a good job to go to.
It's a really good job.
And you know when you go into, a lot of the time you go into managerial jobs, and they always saying with Conte, that you know sometimes you're going in and it's just in complete tatters. But you know if other times you could be rubbing your hands together as a manager. And I think.
Yeah.
Similarly, you've got the basis there, and you know, it's not like they're not bottom of the league and cut adrift. You know, it's completely different from, you know, going into the Norwich job. Anyway, the managers on the list, I don't know if you've seen this one, but Steve Gerrard is his favourite for the job at the moment.
I can see that. I can see why.
John Terry is also on the list.
No, well, John Terry, listen. No, I've had John Terry can get off the list.
Tell him,
send them a text or something. Get in touch, and just be like, "You're having a laugh." Like he'll relegate you.
I can't see how they're gonna get, because Terry obviously was part of or what you know Dean Smith's coaching staff. So he's the assistant manager, and so I don't know. Is that going to be? Are you going to see a massive change with Terry there?
If you bring Gerrard in, you keep John Terry there. Unless, I don't know, maybe Steven Gerrard's mates with Wayne Bridge. Who knows?
Also on the list up there, which would be
basically what I'm saying is John Terry's a prick. Sorry.
Paolo Fonseca, see the former Roma manager.
That's a weird one. I can get it. I get it, but I don't think he's attacking enough.
Villa would want to see that. Well, you're going further down the list. Roberto Martinez, Graham Potter.
Whatever you're looking at, what are the longest odds? Just tell me the odds, not the person.
The longest that goes down to the list I'm looking at is only 25-1. We're not talking long, and that's Scott Parker. And just above him, Nuno Espirito Santo, 20-1. No one's. On. We're not talking about a list that's got like
Nuno,
Boris Johnson, 1,000-1 on here. You know,
hang on, Nuno is 20-1.
20-1, Nuno.
That must be because they don't think he'll go there. Like he, if I was Villa, I would definitely be speaking to Nuno.
But then like, he's not attacking. You wouldn't say Nuno's attacking, would you?
No, but I just think he could call. Like, oh, actually, he wouldn't go there because scratch that. He wouldn't go there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way.
Lampard's on the list. This one as well. Hasselhoff, 14-1. Hasselhoff. I don't want Ralph to go to Villa because I think I never want to do with Southampton. I just think they're like. I just think. It'll just end in tears if Ralph went to Villa. It'll just end in disaster.
No one wants that.
I don't want to see him leave his station. I like him there. I like him at Southampton doing overachieving.
Yeah. Oh my God, what's his bloody name?
Kasper Hellmund is on there, 13-2.
Yeah. Is Brighton coach, what's his name? Graham Potter.
Graham Potter's 11-1. He's the sixth favourite.
Potter would be a good. He's another one. If I'm sounding out my candidates for. I'm in charge of Villa and I'm looking at who I can bring in. I'd definitely be looking at, say, Valverde. I'd definitely be looking at it, trying to speak to Potter.
Potter's done superbly, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's done it. He definitely wouldn't leave Brighton, but it's a conversation that I'd be like, well, look, if you want to have a chat, I'll probably pay you a lot more money than you're on at Brighton, and I can give you more money to buy players in than they can, and I've got a better team. So this is, for the right manager at the right time, it's a great job.
Why is Valverde Yeah, he's. I mean, he's been out of coaching now since the he hasn't managed anyone since the Barcelona job. But I just, no. There's no particular reason given. It isn't like he's said he's hanging up his managerial boots, but he's.
Maybe he's just done a Pep and just asked to have some time out. When did he leave?
It was 2020. Yeah, 2020. I don't know when exactly in 2020.
But maybe he's just decided.
January 2020. So he's sort of a full, nearly a couple of years now, full two years.
So basically then, coming up 2 years. But basically what's happened is he's gone out of a job and he's thought, I'll have a couple of months off to relax and refresh. And then I'll get another job. And then what's happened is a global pandemic has hit.
COVID.
That might be it. Maybe Valverde was like, as everyone, like, let me have a holiday. I want a holiday. I'll have some time at home. It's a pressure cooker at Barca. And then I'll get back into it. And then what's happened is COVID's happened. And now he sat there going, well, I don't need to travel.
Do you think, if you were a manager, would you like the odd little break? Because I think I would, but people say that managers, they have a break and they're home for 2 weeks with the family and then they go stir crazy and they want to get back into it. But I think I'd like a little break every now and then.
It would depend on, a lot of factors, really, because Pep's done that. Like Pep at Barca, Pep decided he was leaving, really successful there, then he's gone in at Bayern and he's done well, but he hasn't won the Champions League. He got them to finals, but he hasn't won the Champions League. Did he get them to a final? But regardless, he didn't win the Champions League.
He got smashed in the semis by Madrid that one year, didn't he?
Yeah. But he was also successful there in other ways, you know? And then he took a break and he's coming at City. And City's... Now, he's been at City the longest he's ever been at any club.
Has he? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's not been... He's been at City longer than he was at Barca.
Really? That's surprising.
Which is really surprising because I genuinely... When he came in, I thought, you're probably going to get about 3 or 4 seasons out of him. Then he'll go, but he stayed on. So there's something about the club that he enjoys. I reckon he's literally going to just stay at City for a couple more years. And then he'll have a break and then he'll go manage, the national squad or something.
I think what he's making him stay at City is a supply of Stone Island jackets that he gets.
Yeah. God, he loves their merch, don't he?
I think that's what it is.
Oh, the amount of times where you think of Pep when he was at Barca and he looked the shit. Do you know what I mean? He looked it. He was exciting. He was young, he was handsome, he was well-dressed, he was everything. And then he left Barca and he looked really old because he just nearly aged him. Then he went to Bayern and basically what appears to be is he just had a great time in the league and he dressed up in lederhosen a lot for a couple of years. Now he's going to City and he's just become like this like Yoda figure. But he's also dressing.
He's still handsome,
like a proper dad.
Do you know what? The funny thing is, though, which I wasn't really aware of before, but Stone Island was synonymous with kind of a bit of a chavvy brand, wasn't it? No one told him when he
weren't they the ones that were synonymous with hooligans.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's hooliganism. Yeah.
Yeah, the stone. Yeah, on the sleeve, isn't it, with the buttons. Yeah, they were the ones who were. So yeah, I don't.
Like no one told him he came in. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. I'll stone at him. That's good.
Then he also though every now and again he rocks up with like a hoodie straight from the club shop that just says City's Ends. On the back of it, and you're like, Pep, what are you doing? But then he also wears, signs for Catalonia, and he gets in trouble for it, which is ridiculous. He should be able to wear what he wants. You know, if I was a manager, I'd manage my side 1 week in a suit completely made out of Free Palestine flags.
Yeah.
And just be like, what do you mean it's a statement? I just like, shut up. Why? I do things to annoy him. I get fined and I get banned.
You try and find.
Yeah, I would just like, I turn up and I just have my forehead sponsored, just like sponsored by, and it would be like, you know, Owl's Corner Shop. Going on Match of the Day, and they're like, you can't have that on your head. It's like, it's just makeup. This is a religious symbol. It says you're sponsored by the co-op. It's a religious symbol.
You could, I get like one of those transferable tattoos, but then rub off like one of the letters so you know what it says, but
yeah,
you, it doesn't actually say it. You'd be like, well, I don't, not really. It doesn't say Free Palestine, it says Free Lalstein. I don't know. From the pee off.
Turn up to one game just dressed completely like as a packet of Quavers. Just, you can't wear that on the touchline and wear what I want.
Oh, like a knockoff brand.
Yeah.
Like Quivers, but you look like a Quaver.
You could come up, you could do all sorts. I'd come for when it's Pride, I'd come out in a rainbow like Katy Perry.
Yeah,
and I'd be shooting cannons, like confetti cannons. They'd be like, you can't dress like that on the touchline. It's Pride Week. Leave me alone. For Christmas, when we played on Boxing Day, I come dressed as Santa. You know, I do all these things just to annoy the league, to see how much I could get away with.
You know, you dress as Santa. I've just reminded me of The Office when David Brent is in that fancy dress and he gets sacked.
Yeah.
And he's got that outfit on. And he's like, I've just been sacked in there, sticking up for you. And you'd just be like there, and you'd be in your Santa outfit, and you've just been thrashed like 6-0 at home to like Man City. And you got to go and do your interviews, and you're in the dugout, and you've got to give people like a serious talk to you in like a Santa or like an elf costume or something.
Oh, imagine. I'd make my assistant be the back end of a reindeer, like a pantomime horse, but it would be a reindeer. I'd finish every answer with, I don't know if you want to see if he's got anything to add. And then, yeah, they'd have to put the microphone to my ass. And my assistant would do a serious interview, but underneath the ass end of a pantomime horse reindeer.
Jeff Shree's putting the mic to the bum hole.
Just every now and again, just turn around. Colin, you've got anything to add? And my ass just starts talking.
Let's talk Championship before we've got to the arse end of the Premiership conversation.
Yeah, nice.
I've said Premiership twice in this episode.
You've also we've also morphed roles. I was going to be the one who hosts this week, and it's somehow now you're hosting this.
Yeah. You've basically gone, Mitch, have you got anything to add? And I've just taken it off from there.
Happened seamlessly.
Yes, there you are, in sync. Let's talk Championship. Right, so Championship.
Mitch's Corner. What does that mean? Mitch's Corner.
What does that mean? Remember that?
Yeah. Old school listeners.
That's all. Hey, little callback for you there if you're an old school, long-term listener. Championship is looking very much like the top two are romping away. You got Bournemouth and Fulham. Bournemouth are on 40 points, won five of their last six. Fulham have won six in a row, I think it is. They've won now on 38 points. They're 6 points ahead of West Brom. West Brom got thrashed 3-0 by Fulham a couple of weeks ago. Fulham are scoring for fun at the moment. Alexander Mitrovic is one of those players where I saw the tweet this week, but I can't remember. I think it's one of these betting companies that tweet a lot on football, and they said he's like one of those strikers in football purgatory, which is quite a good way to put it, really. He just never quite does it in the Premier League, but he's like an absolute monster in the Championship. Absolute monster. And Vikram Solanke as well. Just Bournemouth and Fulham are just scoring for fun at the moment. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. You know, Fulham has scored 44 goals this season in 17 games.
They're mad, though, aren't they? They're mad.
Easy.
What used to be West Brom, I mean, they could still be one of those clubs, but there's certain clubs that are just too good for one league, but they're not quite good enough for the other.
Do we start another league with just for those clubs?
Yeah, there needs to be, we'll call it the Purgatory League. And in that league could be at any one time. Would you put every other league? Because there's teams that are almost like that lower down, you know? They're like Rotherham. Rotherham are always too good for League One and not necessarily good enough for the Championship. But Premier League-wise, you just look in West Brom at times would be in there. Norwich would be in there. Fulham.
Bournemouth, maybe. We'd have to see more data on...
Fulham and Norwich are the winners of that league. Like,
but then if they win that league, like who are they with? Because they'd have to be competing with other teams that are sort of... Oh, I don't know. It's just...
Do you know what you do? You go around the leagues around the world and you find these teams that are almost too good for one. So say someone like St. Pauli in Germany. Now, St. Pauli, I don't even know what league they're in, actually, but they almost get to the point where it's like, oh, you should be in the Bundesliga, but you're not quite good enough. Those level. And then you create a Super League.
Championship Super League.
But it's just another level of football around the world, and it's called Purgatory level. And you're like, look, we're not going to drop you down there with them because you're embarrassing them. We're not going to put you up there because you're too shit. So you stay here, you play each other, and then when one of you gets to a good level, you'll go and have your chance.
Or what you could do is, like, if you win the league, you acquire all the players from the other teams in that league, and the other teams cease to exist, and you've got one massive club with all the funds and the resources, and suddenly you've now... You like win the right to have a monster team and funds, and you know, and all the fans have got to support them, and suddenly now you're a bigger club, and you get to go off into the Premier League or wherever your division is in Europe.
You also, because you've got more players, you're allowed to play one extra player than the opposing side.
Yeah, I think it could work. You know,
let's create this super club.
No one wants to see, with all due respect, because you could look at it the nice way around. Fulham and West Brom, stop going up and going down and going up and going down. And I'm not having a go because...
I hope the cause of their parachute payments chokes them to death.
Well, that is having a go. But what I'm saying, I might not be having a go. I might be generally saying, well, stay up then, you know, not piss off the Premier League.
Exactly.
But don't keep going up and down because it's boring. So,
do you know what it is?
Not quite the same yet. Bournemouth not quite in the same category yet because they've been in the Premier League for a few years. So we'll give them a bit of a stay of execution from this yo-yo, I think.
Yeah, go on. It's flushing the toilet after you've done a number two.
See, there you go with what potentially might be a negative comment.
It goes down the bowl. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it goes around the U-bend and you think, right, that's gone. But somehow it comes back up. But this time it's not Norwich, it's Fulham. You're like, fucking Fulham are back. And then you flush again and it goes around. You go, right, oh, thank God I can leave. I'm done with that now. Oh, no, here come West Brom. Oh, for fuck's sake. Who let them in? Flash him down. And then every now and again, you flash him down and like someone comes up and it's like, it's Leeds. Leeds are here. Well, I haven't seen them in ages. And they stay.
It feels like that, doesn't it, at times, to be honest. So, and it does, and it's got a very familiar look, that top of the league in the championship.
Yeah.
Nice to see Coventry in fourth, QPR giving a good crack in sixth. It's going to be one of those where I think you're going to get those top three are going to break away, and it's going to be, and there is a bit of a gap between them now, and I think you're just going to look at the other sides. It's going to be that battle from like mid-table to fourth or whatever. It'll be the way it shapes up at the moment. My boys are doing well lately. Steve Cooper coming in at Forest, only lost one game since he's been there, and we're looking good actually. We're in 13th at the moment, 4 points off the playoffs.
It's a good place to be. Look around. It sounds mad, doesn't it? 14th. You're way off the pace. However, it's the championship. So when you're 14th, you are probably, when you're in the championship, you are like 3 points off relegation, but only 2 points off being league leaders. It's always like that. It's like
13th, actually, I say. Digress.
Every club in that league could at any point of the season be one loss away from relegation and one win away from winning the thing. It's mad. But yeah. Any more, or should we go?
No, I think we've said
it was a well-rounded affair.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Right, say goodbye to the listeners then, Mitchell.
Goodbye, listeners.
Say goodbye to Aiden. He's over there. Look at him, he's in the corner. So goodbye to him.
Bye, Aiden.
There you go. Look at his little face. Look at his little face.
Yeah.
Touchline Rant. This is a touchline rant.
The podcast you just heard was me using Anchor. If you want a podcast,